The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Little bit different because the Packers played on a Saturday. But I got to imagine there's still some frustration out there in Packerland, although maybe it was eased just a little bit from our old pal Aaron Rodgers going into Detroit and defeating the Lions in one of the craziest endings to a game I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But how are you feeling today? 800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. We do want to hear from you because there are plenty of frustrated people. Brian D., who is producing today's program.
A.O. Brian D.
What's up, boys?
What's happening?
Brian, you were telling me about a caller that that had called in to our friends at Unsportsmanlike. Shout out to Hammer and Emmett, who are filling in for the Unsportsmanlike crew, teammates of ours from ESPN Cleveland, filling in today on Unsportsmanlike. But we had a Milwaukee caller early in the day on their show.
Yeah, I'll try and pull the audio here shortly, but Q in Milwaukee called into Unsportsmanlike with Hammer and Emmett just to passionately complain about why the Packers have not fired Rich Bisaccia yet.
Fair.
And then he hung up his call by saying, "Happy holidays." So he was he was angry, but still festive.
But still, you know, but still being cordial. Still, hey, you know, happy holidays to everybody out there. And that was, Chew, a lot of yesterday online. The frustration over Rich Bisaccia. But here's what I don't get. If you're going to be mad at Rich Bisaccia for Romeo Doubs dropping that ball, then by that logic, wouldn't you have to be mad at Jeff Hafley for Keyshawn Nixon blowing a coverage?
Fair. I mean, you got to have receivers on.
But because we like Hafley, we don't blame him, right? Like this, and this is not a full-throated defense of Rich Bisaccia. I think he gets more. He gets blamed for like when somebody misses a kick.
Yeah, that's not his fault.
That's not his fault. Yeah. That's the player, man. That's the operation. That's the player. Something happened there. Now, coverage units, something goes bad, something goes awry there. And Rich Bisaccia has not done enough to me to be a very good special teams coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. But at the same time, I don't blame him for the way things went. That's 100% on Romeo Doubs. And Romeo Doubs said as much after the game. Saying it's 1,000, he said it was 1,000% on him. Catch the ball. Catch the ball, and this game is over. And because it's not even like, and so many people made the, this and the similarities between Seattle and this game were uncanny between the onside kick, a heave on fourth down, a heave on a 2-point conversion against Seattle, and then the way the game ultimately ended in overtime. But it, just a situation where you just got to catch the football, man.
Well, yeah.
Like, it's not like in Seattle where Brandon Bostic went rogue and did what he was not supposed to do. Everybody did what they were supposed to do, except for Romeo Doubs catching the football.
I've been on that team pretty much my whole career.
Yep.
It's not fun. It's not as bad as it used to be when because I played because you could get lit up.
Well,
because
you don't get the running start.
Yes,
I mean, guys, especially when you played. I mean, what, guys would get 10-yard running starts?
Yeah.
So they'd be sprinting for 20 yards before they got to you.
Yes. So what I've learned in all my years of doing that, you have to be aggressive. You can't have guys that are passive. To me, that looked passive to me. Like, okay,
oh, it's like a shortstop.
I'll be on this team, but I don't really.
It's like a shortstop fielding a ground ball. You have to field the ground ball.
You got to be.
You take a step back
and
let the ball field you. Yeah. It's going to take a funky hop, and it's going to be tougher. If you're aggressive and go get it.
Yes.
And again, like, as much as I have had my complaints about Romeo Doubs, like, he's actually a guy I think that's perfect in that situation. There's going to be a crowd. He's got really good hands. He's been good catching in crowds throughout the course of his career. Like, he's made some tough catches, some tough contested catches throughout the course of his career. So that was, oh, okay, yeah, I want Romeo in that spot. And he was just passive for whatever reason.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to blame Bisaccia, it's like, and I really didn't dissect it, but the other guys are supposed to be running over to him just in case what happens, happens.
Well, and it's different now versus when you played, because before, everybody would just load up on one side. Now you can only have so many guys on either side.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to. So they had Romeo on one side, and then Jaden Reed was the other guy on the opposite side of the field in case they decided to go onside kick to that side.
Yeah.
Because teams, when they do the onside kick, again, I think that you can have six on one side.
Yeah.
I think you can stack it up to that many.
You just have to make that play, man. When you're called upon, you know,
yeah,
you're on.
Or at the very least, you bat it out of bounds.
Yes. Yeah. To me, he, like I said, he just looked passive. Yeah. He didn't attack it and just lost the feel. So that was really, yeah, the start of it all.
Yeah, it was, and again, that's
what I went to bed 13-3, and I'm like, the way the Bears offense has been running, all they had was more. Swift's didn't do, I mean, they had 100.
Manunga was better. So
I figured I was safe, and then woke up, and my wife said, they lost in overtime, and I'm like,
excuse
how? Me? But luckily, they had it replaying on NFL Network.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched that about 7 in the morning, and I'm like, oh, Murphy's Law. Just stupid stuff.
Everything that went wrong could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, so DeAndre Swift, 13 carries, 58 yards. Kyle Manungai, nine carries for 50 yards.
Yeah. I mean, I thought they did a nice job.
Oh, I thought the defense was spectacular. Until they weren't.
Yeah. You got to finish. So, I mean, LaFleur should take, everyone take blame. Halfley take blame. I just don't know. I didn't understand the Keyshawn thing because you can only do one of two things there.
Okay.
You pass them off.
So this is a blown coverage at the end of regulation.
Yeah. You pass them off or you just stick with your guy. It's not very hard.
Yeah.
And that cost him the game because that was fourth down.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was a rookie undrafted receiver that has had.
I think he had one catch earlier in the day.
But not a lot all season long.
No.
So.
Let's take a look at the old game log for Jahdae Walker, who caught the game-winning touchdown. Yeah, that was the second catch all season. Mm-hmm. Catch all season. So. His first career catch came earlier in the day.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. It's a game, you know, you pretty much dominated. Third down efficiency for the Bears, 2 of 11. That's terrible.
But again, you had, and again, other multiple mistakes.
I will tell you this, Gabe. Whoever said Malik Willis can't play should probably apologize.
I believe the one who said it the loudest was Tyler Lewan, his former teammate. I believe he went on television and said this guy doesn't know ball.
Because, you know, he's not going to get you to the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
but he's one of the better backups in this league. And based upon some of the starters for horrible teams, he could be that guy.
I can't imagine he's a Packer next year, too.
Because someone will take him?
He's a free agent.
Yeah.
Not that he's going to break the bank, but someone's got to give him low-end starter money just to give him a shot.
Yeah. You know, even after he got hurt, that nice throw to Reed we were talking about in overtime.
But, I mean, you take a look at, again, quickly in the NFL, teams that are going to be looking for quarterbacks this offseason. I'm assuming Miami's moving off of Tua.
Yeah.
Although there are some contract implications there that could make that difficult. The Cleveland, well, maybe the Cleveland Browns, but they've got a high enough pick that they'll probably draft one, but they could be looking for a quarterback.
There's a lot. I mean,
oh yeah. You've got maybe the Saints. I mean, the Raiders could be looking for a quarterback. The Cardinals are going to be looking for a quarterback. The Steelers are going to be looking for a quarterback, assuming Aaron Rodgers retires. Like there are four or five teams I think he would instantly make better by starting four right now.
And I thought the adjustment by LaFleur was very good. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You knew he was gonna tuck it and run at times, but he's good at that.
Yeah. He's good at having a feel for that.
And that's the only reason I said that was part of my reasoning when I said a couple weeks ago, best player on a team or most important, Jordan Love or Micah Parsons.
Yeah, but again, I think you see it when they get in the red zone. That's where Malik is going to struggle. If he's got to throw the ball and those windows are a little bit tighter, that the offense is going to struggle a little bit more if you can't run the football.
Yeah,
and pushing into the end zone. Packers are 0-5 again. This just all these little things that ultimately added up at the end of the game. Packers 0-5 in the red zone and scoring touchdowns in this game.
Yeah,
Josh Jacobs fumble inside the five.
Yeah,
that was a backbreaker.
But still, it was 13-3.
Yeah.
And their offense hadn't done anything.
But again, you could have put the game away.
You could have stepped
on their throat and put the game away, but all those little mistakes continue.
But I'm blaming the defense more than I'm blaming the offense with a backup quarterback. Right?
How
much time was left when it was 13-3? 5?
I will get you. Man, let me just pull it up here. So it is 13-3 in the third quarter after the touchdown, but then it was 13-6 after Cairo Santos made a field goal with 5:03 left. Brandon McManus made a field goal to make it 16-6.
Yeah.
And then the Bears, again, because they mismanaged this too. The Bears mismanaged kicking the field goal when they did, and they allowed it to run it down to the 2-minute warning. So they lost that timeout to make it 16-9 to kick a field goal. And then they scored with 24 seconds left after getting the 2-point after getting the onside kick.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised the Bears didn't go for 2 in the win.
At home.
Well, because Ben Johnson was, I would have definitely gone for 2 if we had gotten the 1 in Green Bay. You had a chance to do it here, pal. Didn't do it.
Yeah. Against the backup quarterback. No. That I would not have. I mean, if Jordan Love's in there, then I go for 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are guaranteed the possession in overtime.
Yeah.
So that kind of helps.
Yeah. And they were driving, too. I mean.
Oh, yeah. And then you fumble it.
When was
fourth,
the fumble? That was on
fourth down.
On what yard line, though? It was like
35, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were moving the football. And I felt good about them picking up the fourth down.
What were they going to run? Read option?
No, because Malik was under center. So I think he was going to, either it was going to be a handoff
or
a handoff and boot.
Yeah, that was on him. He backed out way too early.
Yeah.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was just like 4 plays.
Yeah.
You take away, and this is a comfortable win. Now you're looking at 6 or 7 seed. Got to finish.
Well, and so I don't know if this eased the pain at all, but again, it was tough after the game on Saturday night because of the way things ended. But Aaron Rodgers did the Packers a solid yesterday.
Yeah.
By going into Detroit and beating the Lions. Now the Packers just have to win one of their final 2 games in order to make the postseason.
Yeah, but it's more than that. It's about feeling good. I don't feel good at all. Don't feel good.
Well, I think
all.
That's more because this team's so incredibly beat up.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know how good you would feel if Romeo still recovers that onside kick. Yeah, you're in first place in the division, but right now they're down to 2 tight ends, assuming Wiley's going to be able to play coming out of concussion protocol. But you lost another one. Fitzpatrick blew out his Achilles.
Maybe no quarterback.
We're going to get to that in a second because we have no idea what's going to happen. Well, if you recover the onside kick, Malik Willis isn't going to take the shot that he does.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, I think that has more to do with the health of this team right now than anything.
Josh Jacobs seems to me like he's hurting.
Yes.
He's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got a little luck with Lamar going down yesterday, but they're fighting for their playoff
lives. They lose again, they're done.
Cleveland can beat Pittsburgh rivalry game, and that game's not till Sunday. It would be nice if it was flopped where Pittsburgh was playing Cleveland.
And they're like, all right, there's no reason to risk Lamar.
You're
just down. Well, we're going to have to wait and see. 800-990-3776. Ronnie texting in, the last 5 minutes of the game, literally the Seattle NFC Championship game all over again. Even the walk-off TD and OT was identical to Seattle's walk-off play.
Yeah,
At least it was a regular season game. And that's, I think it was Andy Herman ended up putting together on Twitter, like a juxtaposition of, hey, here's the Bears game, here's the other game for the, 2014, of on the 2-point conversion to tie it, you know, Russell Wilson just kind of chucks it up and it ends up being a completed 4th down, chuck it up, complete it for Caleb Williams, obviously the onside kick, and then the walk-off TD.
Yeah.
Just taking a shot down the field. Which actually good coverage by Keyshawn in that play.
Yeah, it was just a great throw and
perfect
great
throw.
Catch.
It's just a perfect throw.
Yeah.
And there's no defense for a perfect throw like that.
No.
Just tough. But again, the good the silver lining out of this, Chew, is the Packers need to win just one more game in order to clinch a playoff berth. 800-990-3776. We'll get to more of your texts, more of your calls, plus who the heck is going to play quarterback for the Green Bay Packers on Saturday night against Baltimore. We dive into that coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I don't know if you guys ever went through this, but I literally don't know how the Packers are going to practice this week. Can you practice without a quarterback? Is this possible?
It's hard. It's hard.
I'm also curious if anyone remembers who the quarterback signed to the practice squad is. 800-990-3776. Hit us up on the Carbless talk and text line.
Is there anyone not far removed that they could bring in? If Love and Willis.
What, in the way, in the spirit of Philip Rivers?
He doesn't have to be ancient. How about Kirk Benkirk? You okay with that or no?
No, thank you. I think LaFleur's good on that one,
who
too.
Who else? Who was here before Willis? What you talking about, Willis?
I mean, they moved on from all those different guys for a reason. I mean, Sean Clifford?
The Clifford, you want the big red dog back.
I mean, if he's on a practice squad somewhere, sure.
What about the Tim Boyle laser show?
Hey!
Is he still kicking around on a practice squad?
Think he's in his 40s?
They're literally going to have to do something and add someone to the practice squad.
They don't have anyone on the practice
squad?
Well,
they do. They do.
And his name is?
Do you have any idea? I was going to see if anybody texted in.
No.
To be able to pick it up.
I can honestly say I have no idea.
I'll wait there. We'll wait to see if
was
anybody
hexes. Was it the kid they drafted last year?
No.
I thought they cut him.
They did.
Along with
it is
the
not.
Big red dog.
Yes, it is not the guy who was here last year.
I would say 70% of the people have no idea.
I think we have said this name once or twice on this program. I think we said it when they added him to the practice squad this year.
Yeah.
And maybe another time after that. Okay. But it seems... It is very, if you have ever played Madden and you've done a create a player, it seems like a fake create a player name.
Can you give me the college?
I mean, sure. It's not going to help. Houston.
Charlie Ward. Good guess, though, Brian.
Huh? I'll give it to you.
All right. We do have a couple of people who are able to get it. Chef Ed, Mark in Illinois, Clayton Toon.
Clayton Toon. Any relation to Al? Did he play, did he start at Wisconsin?
Different spelling of Toon.
Okay.
That was T-O-O-N. This is T-U-N-E.
Okay.
Clayton Toon. And again, I make the reference of, hey, I don't know how they're going to practice because, A, Jordan Love not going to be allowed to practice until he at least advances. There are a lot of steps in that concussion protocol. So he's in concussion protocol. And then yesterday, Matt LaFleur saying it was a serious situation for Willis, I want to get the direct quote here from Matt LaFleur, that they are going to monitor as the week goes along, as they progress.
I got another name for you.
Okay.
Ryan Tannehill.
No, thank you.
Wasn't Tannehill with LaFleur in Tennessee? So he should be a little bit familiar with the offense?
Yeah, but like...
I'd take Tannehill.
No.
He's piecing it together. You got to give the big guy credit.
Yeah.
But there were talks about Tannehill a couple of years ago. Like, he retired and went down to the Bahamas or something. Like, he's literally doing what everybody says they would do if they had Ryan Tannehill money. Like, he has disappeared to some tropical island, and I do not want to pay the amount of money that it would take for him to come off the tropical island and play in cold Green Bay.
You remember when Cliff Kingsbury got fired and he took a one-way ticket to, like the Philippines or something,
yeah,
and just never came back. That's the life you want to live right there.
Yeah, and now he's back as the offensive coordinator. Now, he disappeared for like the right amount of time, like a year, and now he's back as the O coordinator out in Washington. So here is the quote, Chewy, from Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
I'd say he's pretty sore. That's a legitimate deal he's dealing with, and he's going to be another guy. We'll see where he is as we progress. That further complicates the other problem. The other problem being the concussion protocol that Jordan Love finds himself in.
So he's got a shoulder injury, which in his throwing arm, which is tough to play quarterback with that. So even if he can go, he's probably not going to throw a lot of balls this week. All right, he can't go, Gabe. Who are you going with? If you don't want Tannehill, you'd rather stay with Ryan Toon.
What I'm saying is I don't think Tannehill's an actual option because that was a name that was floated out there for a different team a couple of years ago, and it seemed like it was going to take an exorbitant amount of money to get him to come out of retirement. But I don't know. I don't know what the legitimate options are, and I think the Packers need to try to figure that out as soon as possible. And LaFleur said, you know, you kind of get a feel for a guy as they're going through concussion protocol if they're going to be available or not. He did say, the only thing he said about Jordan Love is he was told that he is doing better. But that doesn't, in the NFL in 2025,
yes,
my assumption is you get a concussion, you're not playing the next week. I feel that that is typically the rule. Now, it has happened where other guys have come back from concussion. They've been able to advance through concussion protocol. I know Devontae did it once when he was here. It's happened a couple of times, but I feel like that's the exception versus the rule. See, look no further than Josh Wiley this last week as a tight end, suffered a concussion, was unable to play for the Packers on Saturday night.
Well, then you
again, I would say the same. I said the same thing about hospital. You go to the hospital one game, I doubt you play, and we did get Christian Watson, so maybe the Packers can get a miracle the second week in a row and somebody can play, but I typically operate under the assumption of once you get a concussion, it is hard to clear the hurdles necessary to play on Saturday.
SpotTrack currently, guys, has three unrestricted available free agent quarterbacks. You want these three, Chu?
Let's hear them.
Number one, C.J. Beathard.
No, thank you.
Hold on, Gabe. This is Clayton Kershaw's Clayton Toon. Okay?
I think I might take Clayton Kershaw. See what he's got as a lefty? Run around there, make some plays.
So you're saying Clayton Toon over Bobby Beathard's nephew.
You're just making things up.
No, I think it is.
Is it really?
Yeah, went to Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Brian, hit me with another.
Quarterback two, Jeff Driscoll of the University of Florida, I think. Couple of years ago.
No.
I'm going with Clayton.
I'm going with Clayton Toon. See, that's the problem. Like, none of these guys are good enough where I'm going to go, Clayton Toon at least has been here doing some stuff. Like, I know C.J. Beathard, more than C.J. Beathard's been doing.
All right, the last one's going to excite Chewy. Yeah. Jake Fromm.
Louisville?
No, I think he was in Georgia, wasn't he?
Yeah. Oh.
You're thinking of Brom, who's the coach at Louisville.
It's close.
He's thinking of Brian Brom.
I was actually thinking of Brian Brom.
The quarterback.
Because I think he was
Packers,
my year.
Packers legend Brian Brom.
Was that the second round pick?
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh. That's it, Brian?
That's it. That's the three. Everybody else is spoken for. Everybody else got a date to homecoming.
Steve said, great morning. We can get Troy Aikman. That's one way to get him out of the booth.
How about Don Majkowski?
Brady. Brady's available. You just got to pay him $201 million.
Yeah. Got to be.
There's not a lot of options at this point in the season, which is, again, why the Colts did what they did and were as desperate to sign Phillip Rivers. That's why they were as desperate as they were.
You would take Phillip Rivers if he was available, wouldn't you?
Last week I would have said no. This week I would have said yes. Because he ended up being better. He took some shots, too.
Yeah.
Like I was legitimately concerned for him.
He managed the game fairly well. He just doesn't. He
can't move.
He can't win it in the end.
No, he just can't move. He literally tripped over his own 2 feet at one point. It wasn't even over his own 2 feet. He just, like, got to the top of the drop and his back leg gave out.
Who's the old Chicago Bear?
Jay Cutler. He's been more removed from the game as Phillip Rivers.
Gabe. Clayton Toon.
Yeah.
I would take Jay Cutler.
No, he's been out of the league for
almost
a decade.
Well, you're not helping me.
Well, I don't know who's actually available.
Do you go Wildcat the whole game?
I'd consider it.
Yeah, but Jacobs is beat up.
The last time Jay Cutler was convinced to come out of retirement was with the Dolphins in 2017. So that was 8 years ago.
And he wasn't bad. He wasn't good, but he wasn't bad. Yeah, they're in trouble.
Seriously, did you ever have to deal with anything like this?
We got close to the emergency quarterback.
Well, so I remember in 95.
Yes.
Again, 95 keeps coming up this year. between the Reggie injury, back-to-back games. But in 1995, and this is even a tough memory for me to bring up, Brett gets hurt.
Yep.
I believe it was Ty was the backup.
And then Ty gets hurt.
And then TJ Rubley comes in, calls his own number, fumbles, you guys lose the game.
Yes. With Frank screaming at him not to change the play. And he did it anyway. I mean, how much more direct? Like, you blame Bisaccia, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much more do you have to tell a player, Holmgren saying, whatever you do, I don't want you changing this play? It was sprint right option.
Yeah.
Which gives you, I mean, you can always run the ball as a quarterback. Yep. And you still have the ability to throw the ball.
Yeah, you're on the run, but it should be either it's in. It,
how much more direct do you have to be?
And he changed the play.
And he changed the play with Frank screaming at him not to change the play. He called his own number too.
He called the quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
And fumbled the football.
Yeah.
Gave it right back to the Vikings. They went down and scored. You guys lost the game. I remember this distinctly as a Packers fan. You were there. I had no idea Frank told him not to change the play, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
So that week, were you guys okay? Because I think that's when Brett had the ankle injury.
He hurt his ankle in Minnesota.
Yes.
He got stepped on.
Yeah.
I think he got stepped on by AT, our own guard.
Okay.
And it was more of a foot sprain.
Because that was the next week.
Because I caught a touchdown in that game because in the record books it says touchdown from Ty Detmer.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. Absolutely none. I don't even remember Ty being in the game.
Yeah.
I remember Rubley.
Ty wasn't in the game for long because Rubley then came in.
I remember Rubley because we ran just a basic Y stick, which is a 5-yard route for me, and he threw it right to the linebacker. And I actually wrestled it away from the linebacker to retain possession. So he kept going. And I remember going back and said, what are you doing? You colorblind? Jeez, I'm crow. He was an interesting guy. You know who his brother-in-law is?
Ty Detmer's brother-in-law?
No, TJ Rubley's.
Rubley's brother-in-law.
No clue. Why would I know that information?
I'm guessing.
Should we let the people throw some guesses out or
not? Well, if you're asking...
This will blow your mind,
Is
Brian
it Clayton Lee. Toon?
No.
If you're asking Brian specifically, I'd imagine maybe there's a Buffalo tie.
Do you know?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
No clue.
Well, we'll see if any of the fans know or callers.
I can't imagine that anybody knows.
You guys are going to go, no way.
So some of the suggestions that we have in terms of if the Packers don't have a healthy quarterback other than Clayton Toon, Caleb and Horicon, you got to think Brett is chomping at the bit to suit up again.
No doubt.
Nicholas says Matt Ryan.
I'd take Matt Ryan any day.
Ryan in East Troy says Cam Newton.
I'd take Cam Newton.
Rob in Michigan, Tim Boyle is available.
There it is.
Was he under LaFleur, though, or was he McCarthy?
He had to be under LaFleur.
I think eventually he bled into LaFleur.
Yeah, I would be okay. It's got to be someone that knows this offense.
Kyle in the 262. Isn't Jay Cutler in jail?
I think he posted. I think he posted bond.
Ronnie says Fitzmagic is the answer.
I'd take Fitzmagic.
He'd be a cult hero in a second in this state. Are you kidding me?
Especially if he won the game.
Is this not the worst thing ever?
I honestly, Brian, I legitimately don't know how they're going. Now, they don't practice today.
No.
Today's Tuesday. Today's Tuesday in the Packers world. Tomorrow's Wednesday. So tomorrow's the first practice. I don't know how they practice with Clayton Toon.
They're not really going to improve their seed. They're not going to win the division. Like, it's kind of spin zone. Mini bye for the Packers with 2 weeks to play heading into the playoffs.
But you don't want to put all your eggs in the... We're going to beat Minnesota basket. Like, you still want to give yourself opportunities.
So, if they lose the last two, could they be out of the playoffs?
Yes. If they lose the last two and Detroit wins their last two, Detroit would get the final spot.
Do you have any guesses? Because it's so good.
Oh, I completely forgot about TJ Rubley. I do not.
Brian D., nothing.
Can we get a hint?
Give me the most obscure.
Rob Johnson.
Who's that?
Played quarterback.
The Boxer Rocks.
Oh, no. You got to go. Bills. You got to go. Big time icon.
Michael Jackson.
He had, I watched a couple episodes, the worst Netflix series known to man.
Flavor Flav.
Close. You want me to tell you?
Please.
Sylvester Stallone.
How was that close to Flavor Flav?
It's not.
We're being honest.
It's not.
We're being on cards on the table.
So Jennifer Flavin.
Okay.
Is TJ Rubley's wife's sister.
And that is Sly's wife.
I don't know if they're married, but, you know, close enough.
Wait, so you don't know if they're actually related,
you know,
through marriage?
No, I know the sisters are.
Oh, okay. Are, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
No idea. You didn't know that?
No. Why on earth would I know that?
That's the only reason
the
we liked them. We're like, when can we see Sly?
No idea that TJ Rubley's brother-in-law was Sylvester
Stallone.
But I
will tell you this. Sly must have got him a role because he was the quarterback on set. Quarterback, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know because I don't know what you're talking about.
He was the quarterback, whatever. He was helping out in this movie. Any guesses?
The Longest Yard?
Yeah, that's the initial guess for me.
Gene Hackman, I think.
The Replacements?
Yes.
Wait, so
he was the quarterback consultant.
So he was the consultant
for the
movie.
Yes.
So he was working with Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
About his, like,
yeah,
mechanics
for
footwork.
Shane Falco.
Yes.
He was the coach for Shane Falco.
Yes.
There it is.
Never seen the movie because as soon as I heard he was involved, I'm like, oh, this got to be a bad movie.
This is what happens when the Packers have no quarterbacks available. We start talking about, we somehow get into the replacements.
Is that good stuff, though, Brian
D? I don't know if it's good stuff. It's,
all right.
It's deep stuff.
Okay.
It's stuff. It's for sure stuff.
Certainly.
I don't know if it's good, but it's definitely stuff.
I mean, wouldn't you want Sly as your brother-in-law? I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think Sly's pretty cool. So what, you don't like...
King was, it's so bad.
So that's a Paramount Plus show.
I was close, again. Ryan D. Because
again,
Flav,
I'm thinking of like bad Netflix shows, and I'm going through my head.
Have you seen Tulsa King?
I have not.
Brian?
Of course not.
Okay.
You can add it to the list.
No, I've just saved you time.
It's good looking out.
Yeah. Don't do it. Oh, man. I honestly can't. We're going to talk with Rob Domofsky about an hour from now. I can't wait to talk to Rob because I have no idea how the Packers hold a practice. They just have an all-time quarterback. Clayton Tune's just all-time QB. QB in for both sides, for both the scout team and the number ones.
That was worst thing about end of the year, because we only had five guys on the practice squad.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, somebody gets banged up.
JT and Keith go down. That's not a fun week for me.
All-time tight end?
Yes.
Didn't realize that was a position.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't either until you got to the NFL. Looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been shaping the future of businesses for 167 years and for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making with extensive experience to help navigate the ever-changing business landscape with your business in mind. At Fifth Third, they're big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, yet empowered to make local decisions and build strong community connections. Experience the commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC. Jeff in the 920 says, Chewy is right. Tulsa King sucks. Worst Taylor Sheridan series by far.
It was bad. But it's one of those, it's so bad, it's kind of good. That's what keeps me going.
Matt in Lake Mills texts in on the Carpool's Talking text line, 800-990-3776. Not panicking, obviously, but he adds the emoji. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of the teeth exposed. Just but his question is, if both the Lions and Packers lose out, could another team catch them for the seventh seed? No. It's wild. As open as it feels in the NFL, there are only two teams on the outside looking in that could get into the playoffs in the NFC at this point. Everybody else has been eliminated. And Tampa's only way of getting in is winning the division. So the final wild card berth, as the other two wild card spots have been claimed, comes down to Green Bay. Seeding can obviously change in there depending upon when wins and losses. But the final wild card spot comes down to Green Bay and Detroit. And if Green Bay wins once, they're in. If Detroit loses once, Green Bay is in.
So the magic number for the Packers, are they right now? Six or seven?
The Packers? Yeah. Seven.
which would mean they would be going to
Chicago,
which is, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although I do think Adunze and Burden make a difference in that game.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
I think they make a difference. I mean, I think if you traded Burden and Adunze for Jordan Love, let's say Jordan Love plays the whole game in those two, Packers are still better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the most likely scenario right now would be the Packers being the 7 seed, and then we get Packers-Bears part 3, wild card weekend. I don't know when they would put that game.
Both teams are good, and that's it, right?
I mean, I don't know if there's even a really good team in the NFL. Like, I don't even know who I would put in that category. Because, again, you think the Rams, but the Rams puked all over their shoes on Thursday night.
No, I know, but I'm not saying the Bears are really good.
No, either am I. I don't think anybody in the NFL is really good. Denver lost by 14 at home to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Like, just as you're starting to feel good about Brian's Buffalo Bills, they have to eke out a victory against the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
I like something you just brought up about where they would stick that game on television on Super Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah.
Like, that feels like a primetime spot. That feels like Sunday or
against
Monday.
The Bears, you're saying?
Yeah. Because they want that night game cold. Like, that gives you the Bears-Eagles double doink feel where you can see everybody's breath.
Well, so the way, I think, so it's, you have the two games on Saturday, three on Sunday, then the game on Monday.
One on Monday, yeah.
It feels like Saturday night to me.
You think so?
It's either Saturday night or Sunday at 3:25. I think those are the two prime spots. Because Saturday night primetime, you get a little bit more viewing because people will stay up for it because they don't have to work the next day.
That always feels like the Houston game to me. Houston's
playing the first game of the wild card. That always. Like, you're doing stuff Saturday. If you happen to be home around 3:30 or 4, maybe you turn it on. But usually, yes, Houston is always kicking off the wild card weekend.
So I mean, I know Tampa Bay Panthers come down to that, probably that last game in Tampa, which I think Tampa wins.
Yeah, so the winner of that division is going to be the four.
Three, I don't want to go to Philly. I don't want to go to Philly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because, I mean, we've seen these two teams play.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's been at Lambeau, whether it's been at Green Bay, and they're pretty equal.
I think first I'd like to go to Tampa.
Yes.
Tampa would be one, Chicago would be two, Philly would be three.
That seems out of the realm of possibility.
Why?
Because in terms of going to Tampa. Because they would have to climb to the 5 seed. They would need the Rams to lose their final two games.
They'd have to lose both.
Yes.
All right, well, that ain't happening.
That's what...
So it's either Chicago or Philly?
It's either Chicago or Philly. Or the off chance that they win the division, if the Packers win out and the Bears lose out, the Packers would win the division.
Okay.
And the Bears' final two games are... Lions and Niners. They have the Niners next week.
Okay. Niners got a big game tonight against the Colts.
Against the ghost of Philip Rivers and the Colts.
Yeah. Which they could lose that game very easily.
The Niners have already clinched a playoff berth, though.
And they're not winning their division.
They're in third place, so they would have to leapfrog the Rams and Seahawks. They would need the Seahawks to lose out. They would need to win out.
So all signs are pointing to Chicago again.
Yeah. The most likely scenario.
Okay.
Is Packers Bears in Chicago seems to be the most likely scenario.
Yeah.
Because again, the Packers I think are over 90% to make the playoffs right now. I think the Lions by losing yesterday went down to 6%.
Okay.
So that seems to be, but again, I just don't think anybody's necessarily all that good. But
Chew, what do you think happens? Let's play it out. If they go to Chicago in the first round and lose again in the first round, what do you think the offseason looks like?
I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday. I mean, there's a chunk of me that could possibly see policy fire LaFleur and keep Hafley. Because Halfley's going to be a head coach, unless he doesn't want to be a head coach. But here's the problem. I mean, he's talking, you know, he had that press conference and talked gushing over Micah Parsons, and he's going to break the sack record. He ain't doing it next year.
Oh, that's what he said. He said he's doing it next year. He's going to come back and break the
sack record. He's going to miss the first six games based upon Christian Watson.
I would agree.
So let me ask you this. Who's more important to their side of the ball? That's a tough one, isn't it?
That is a tough one. I mean, because Halfley is really good, but it's not like, I mean, I know LaFleur's caught in flack throughout the course of the year, but again, because we're still in the honeymoon phase, I feel, with Halfley, nobody wants to point out when things go wrong for the defense.
I think they give him a little more of a pass.
Yeah, because he's not the head coach.
Correct. Correct. I mean,
but we've seen.
Could you see that? I mean, Brian, we were talking last week. I don't know if you heard what Rob saying, that they could potentially go back to the old model where the GM is the boss of the head coach.
Yeah.
Which I don't think LaFleur would want to come back if that happens, correct?
Well, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I told you guys this morning that lame duck comment from the offseason is stuck in my head, and I know that we can't put a whole heck of a lot of stock into something that happened 5 months ago because things have changed a lot, but...
Well, I mean, Brian, that comment means a lot because it did place... What's more of a hot seat than your boss going, I'm not giving you an extension? You know, you've got 2 years left. I don't like lame ducks, but I'm not giving you an extension. Like, that's the definition of a hot seat for both of those guys, for Goody and Matt LaFleur.
Yes.
So I think you can put a ton of stock into it, but the way the season has gone, I agree. Both Rob and Jason said last week, at this point, you know what you're going to do. I can't imagine that the final three games are going to have much of an impact on what they're going to do.
Would you be worried more next year with Halfley being gone, with Parsons there, or LaFleur being gone from an offensive standpoint?
I would be, either way, Chu. Because look at the Detroit Lions this year.
Yeah.
Both of those coordinators were huge.
Yes.
Huge for that team.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where Dan Campbell doesn't, I firmly believe Dan Campbell doesn't want to call plays. Because if he did, he would have been calling plays from day one when he became the head coach in Detroit. And he didn't want to do that. He took over play calling this year halfway through because he felt like he had to. Like, having that right coordinator in place, whether it's offense or defensive, is becoming more and more important in the NFL.
And I don't think there's anyone, and Jason kind of said the same thing, I don't think there's anyone on this defensive staff that you would elevate to defensive coordinator. I think the best coach they had under Halfley went to Jacksonville and is the DC there now.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I think, yes.
Mm-hmm.
If he was still here, they would be.
Yeah.
They would have elevated him. But I don't think so. Now you're talking about coming in, bringing a whole new scheme.
Well, yeah. I mean,
right.
But that would be a possible on the offensive side as well.
I agree. It's just which is more important.
It's still an offensive league.
I agree.
To me, it's still an offensive league, and I think that's probably a little bit more important. But I mean, it's important on both sides because we've seen the difference that Jeff Halfley can make as a good defensive coordinator versus the previous guy that was here.
Halfley kind of gets a little bit of a pass where LaFleur, I mean, the fans were saying take his play calling duty away halfway through the season.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Keyshawn, you screwed up bad on that game tying touchdown. That's bad, which reflects on, because it's not that hard.
Yeah.
But that should reflect on Halfley as well.
But it doesn't.
But it really doesn't.
Nope. People are going to blame Keyshawn because they love Halfley.
Yeah.
But if that happened again, we saw it with Rich Bisaccia, right? Basically the same thing with Romeo. You're right there. Nobody's blame. Some people don't want to blame Romeo. They just want to blame Bisaccia.
Yeah.
Because they don't like Bisaccia.
Yeah, correct. You're right.
And I'm saying, In my mind, that's on the player in both instances. Both those players, they're not young guys. They've been around long enough. They should know better in Keyshawn's example,
but do better in
Romeo's instance.
Brian, answer this too. But if it's a one and done, you know, or we're blamers, everyone's a blamer, who are you blaming? Are you blaming injuries? Are you blaming LaFleur? What are we blaming?
I mean, injuries are a big part of it.
Yeah,
is that enough, though?
A lot of these losses, like every loss that we've had to break down, or the tie against the Cowboys, right? Like, it's five losses, but it's really six games so far. You have not won.
Correct.
We come in here and we blame LaFleur for bad game management, for poor decision making, right? And at some point, you're not going to fire the starting quarterback who's got a $55 million contract, right? And if somebody's going to be culpable, it's not going to be the guy that brought Micah Parsons in here. It's not going to be the guy whose defense has been awesome, and it's not going to be the quarterback. So who does that leave?
I don't think you have to fire someone, though.
What's more important? It goes back to what's more important. You have a guy that is good in the regular season. He's not good in the playoffs. And you're going to lose a guy who's a up-and-coming hot candidate for a head coaching job.
But you don't know if he's a good head coach.
You do not know if he's... He says all the right things.
Yeah.
We know he's a good...
He says all the right things when he talks once a week.
But it comes down to...
And I know, and again, I know Ben Johnson is the hot... You know, Ben Johnson was the hot name last year.
Correct.
And that has worked out swimmingly. Josh McDaniel, once upon a time, was the hot, sexy name.
Yes.
Oh, man. Everyone's trying to interview Josh.
You're right.
Everybody wants to talk to Josh McDaniel.
You're right.
So,
and the dude was a coordinator.
When the Packers fired Mike McCarthy, it wasn't because he was a bad coach. It was because it had run its course.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do start to wonder if, haven't won a division title since 2021, the Bears now leapfrogged you, you keep losing in the first round. I do wonder if that's the mentality inside 1265 of, has this thing run its course?
With McCarthy, I think things had also run its course because of the relationship with 12. I think that factored into it big time. I don't think I'm not there. I think that's a great point, Brian. I don't think the relationship is souring with the players in the locker room. So it would just have to be we think somebody else can get us over the hump. That would be a decision made by policy and or Brian Goodenough.
I just think this is a majority of the fan base where if you lose Halfley, people are going to be like, oh, man, new scheme. I don't feel comfortable with that. Where there's a percentage that, like, you lose LaFleur and they're like, good, we finally get some decent play calling here, right?
I beg people to watch more NFL football if that's the case. I beg you. Look no further.
And
look
I'm
no further to what the Chicago Bears decided to do on fourth down early in that game, Chew. They are ramming it down the Packers' throats.
Yes.
It is fourth and one.
I know.
Inside the 10.
Yeah.
And what do? They try to snap it between their tight end's legs.
Yeah.
And it goes over Kyle Manungai's head 20 yards behind him.
That was bizarre.
Like, if just watch some of these games. There's not a lot of good football being played. And again, I look at what happened this year with Detroit. Like, losing that stability as your play caller, I think that's you're asking to be playing with fire.
Brian, is that pullable to say, who are you more comfortable losing, LaFleur or Halfley?
Absolutely pullable.
Yeah.
All right,
put that on that.
What do you think it comes
Infinity Exteriors? Oh, people love Halfley. People love Halfley.
I love drama.
Yeah, and you're stirring it up.
That's what I do.
Well,
pot stirrer.
You know, apparently the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. You had some issues at home this weekend. We dive into Chew getting bossed around by someone other than his wife. That's next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But you know how much we love Palermo's Pizza here, especially Connie's. If you haven't had Connie's, it is a different type of frozen pizza. The cornmeal, dusted crust, all natural ingredients. Everybody loves it. So right now, stop by Piggly Wiggly. Enjoy the pizzeria quality without the pizzeria prices. Stock up because Connie's Frozen Pizza through tomorrow is $4.99 at Piggly Wiggly. That's right. Stock up because, look, the holidays are upon us. I know you're going to be busy. You're probably making a big meal for Thursday or a big meal at some point throughout the holiday season. Sometime you're just going to kick back and just, hey, this is really good. Throw it in the oven and forget about it. That's what Connie's can do for you. It's just $4.99 right now at Piggly Wiggly. Take advantage of Connie's pizzeria quality without the pizzeria prices. A couple of responses here on the Cardinals Talking text line. TC, our guy, executive producer of Thanalysis. Add Goody to the poll. If you can't draft, you can't win. It's embarrassing at this point. Of course, he got us Micah. Paid the most. That's not that impressive. Ryan saying, LaFleur outcoached Ben Johnson all game on Saturday. Took four or five fluky plays for the Bears to win. If you lose LaFleur, the dominoes fall. New coach, new offensive scheme. And Halfley could still leave for New York. It was the team he grew up chewing for. And our guy Rocky saying, why is Goody getting a pass? He signed a part-time player who's never had a motor to a huge extension, Rashawn Gary. Secondary's been a question mark all season. Swung and missed on free agents this year.
I think he gets street cred for Parsons.
Yeah, I think 100%.
That's the only reason I kept him off the list.
And just, again, based on the conversation with Rob last week, and again, Rob, much like when we talk about all the time with Jason, like Rob, and he prefaced this, he's not going to throw something out there just to throw it, right? Like these are not a report, but just kind of some of the things that he's been hearing that he kind of gets that feel. And if he's getting the feeling that policy could potentially go back and go, okay, Goody's going to be in charge of the football operations, I'm going to be in charge of Goody, and you know, Goody gets to hire and fire the head coach, it seems to me that Goody would be safe. That the Micah move put him safe. And I understand. Yeah. I think those are fair criticisms that TC, Rocky, and Ryan all threw out there. But it just seems like to me, based on the conversations around that, that Goody would be safe. And let's say the Packers do make the playoffs. This would be, if they got rid of LaFleur, it would be unprecedented even for the Packers. Brian brings up the Mike McCarthy situation where that just kind of ran its course. Packers also missed the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. First season, it was because, yes, Aaron got hurt and missed a good chunk of the season because of the shoulder injury. And then they missed the playoffs once again in 2018. So I think that's part of the reason why it ran its course. When they were one and done with Ray Rhodes, like in this era of Green Bay football, if we just go through the coaches, Mike left on his own accord to go be head coach and GM. Ray got fired after missing the playoffs. After missing the playoffs and having the worst season of anybody in this stretch at 4-12, Mike Sherman got fired.
Mm-hmm.
McCarthy misses back-to-back playoffs, and then he gets fired. Making the playoffs and getting fired would be something that would be unprecedented for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, but
if it plays out that way, which is why I have a tendency to think that this is, even if they switch and go back to the old way, that Goody's in charge of LaFleur, I'm guessing LaFleur would get a contract extension if they make the postseason.
Yeah, but he might not want it. I mean, you're talking massive egos there to go from, hey, this guy was an equivalent, now he's my boss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
would it tick you off enough to go from a team that you think could be, you know, hey, we're right there, we're on the tip, and now you go be the coach of the Tennessee Titans?
And then you're one and done in the playoffs? I mean, that's my thing.
Who are you, the coach? Do you want to build it back up?
I don't know. I just go to Ron and what Ron said when he said, I should have never let Andy Reid go.
Sure, but also, if Mike Holmgren was available, Andy Reid would have left anyway. If Holmgren was still the coach, it's not like he would have fired Holmgren to make Andy the coach. That's the difference.
It's just who's more important to their side of the ball. If you say they're equally important, then you probably, you keep LaFleur.
Tie goes to the offense.
Correct. But if you don't,
in the NFL.
You know, but let's not forget, we're spinning wheels here. I know we're not done with the season yet. But if they go one, make the playoffs, and lose in the first, what are we doing here, Gabe? Yeah. What are we doing?
No, I understand. But it is going to be interesting to see how that plays out. The Packers season still alive. Chewy apparently is a target for being bossed around. We dive into that in 2 minutes on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.